Let's see what we have in here. Got some fish sauce with some ballpark mustard, mango chutney, ketchup, soy sauce, green curry, red curry. That is old. That needs to go. We've got dill pickles, of course. Two little sweet pickles.
Have you ever had one of those moments, faced with a refrigerator filled with half-empty bottles and jars of the world's condiments? The Chinese black vinegar that you needed for the noodle recipe back in 1997? Or the tamarind for the homemade chutney, vintage 2005? Well, what do you do with these leftovers? According to chef Susan Feniger, you need to organize them into tastes. She's the author of Susan Feniger's Street Food. Managing producer Sally Swift got the details.
Susan, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me on the show.
This book is very much a hands-on cookbook, but it's also a book about travel. How integrated is food with travel for you?
Completely. I took my first trip to India 30 years ago, and honestly, I think it changed my whole perception about food, about the direction that I was most passionate about. And I don't think I realized it at the time, but it's influenced everything in terms of colors I love, my palate, the flavor profile that I am drawn to. And it really set the tone for the next 30 years for me.
It's interesting. The book certainly represents that. And you have somehow managed in this book to organize the world's kitchens by its ingredients and their flavors, which I think is just brilliant. Can we walk through the way you've broken down things for us? Let's start with the salts, for instance.
Okay. Well, so, you know, what's interesting is one of the common threads that I think I see in every cuisine is this use of different ingredients and their flavor profile. So, for example, the salt. So, you know, even if you say, okay, in the French kitchen, there's capers and anchovies. That's the salty element. I mean, there's many elements, but those are the salty elements I can just sort of pull out right now. Then you go into, you know, Southeast Asia, and you've got dried shrimp and miso and fish sauce or tamari or soy sauce, those kinds of things. Then you go, you know, where there's brines, or you go like into Mexico, for example, and achiote has a bit of that sort of salty, from the annatto seeds, has a little bit of that saltiness. It makes the other part of the dish come up. It's almost like it forces it to step up.
And those are all cultural variations.
Yes. It's like the checkmark of an ingredient list that I really think brings everything in line.
Now, the second thing on your list is interesting because I think of it as a checkpoint, too. It's the sours.
No question.
And so give me a list of what you consider the sours.
So in the sours, then we sort of lay out the categories of like pickles and vinegars. And so, for example, umeboshi plums or rose hips or tamarind, hibiscus, yuzu, fermented grains, wines. Adding sour to a rich dish makes that dish come about. So for me, for example, the Malaysian black pepper clams, well, that's very, we put in oyster sauce and soy sauce. That's extremely rich and salty. Add into that tons of fresh lime juice. All of a sudden, it totally changes the whole dish.
It's all about the balance.
You know, it is. You know, on a Cubano sandwich, that's a great sandwich loaded with, you know, all this roast pork and ham and really delicious flavors and mayonnaise and mustard. But what makes that dish are the pickles that you put in there. That's what, I mean, that sandwich without the pickles is not a great sandwich.
Right.
And it can't be a little. It's got to be that every bite that you get. So even on like the pizza or the flatbread, we might make an Italian parsley salad just tossed with a little bit of lemon and olive oil. That then gets sort of laid over the whole pizza when it comes out so that every bite's got just a little bit of lemon into it.
Sounds delicious. Okay, now at the other end of things, you have a list of your sweets, which has an interesting list. Palm sugar, maple syrup, sorghum, molasses, dates, blossom waters, honey, dried fruits. Onion you consider sweet. I assume it's because you caramelize it, it becomes sweet when
you
cook an onion.
Yeah, now, I mean, onions, for an example, I mean, the onion's got almost more sugar than any other vegetable. So when you caramelize an onion, I mean, in the Thai kitchen, shallots are cooked so they are crispy. And the reason for that is because they're adding sweetness to a dish, natural sweetness to a dish. So, yeah, for sure. You know, in India, you'll see all over chutneys that have tamarind, which is the sour, but then it's sweetened with either dates or raisins to make a chutney mm-hmm. that is sweet, but it's also sour and it might have heat. I mean, we as Americans are so sweet. Our palate is so used to sweetness. But I think we're limited in terms of that we haven't explored as much as many other countries where you start to use the sweetness from, you know, other mm-hmm. ingredients, like, mm-hmm. you know, where it becomes a really big part, like date syrup is used. We do a date and carob syrup over our lamb meatballs in the new book. We do these lamb meatballs. Now, they're great. They taste great. But boy, you add that date carob syrup with the feta cheese sprinkled around that. So now you've got
totally irresistible, right?
Yeah. I mean, sweet syrup and salty cheese. I mean, it's the sweet, salty, acid thing. I just love.
It's true.
Totally love.
To finish out, to round out this pantry, you divide the last two categories into the hot and spicy, which I think everyone can wrap their heads around, including mustards and cinnamon you include in there, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Why is cinnamon there?
Well, I think that, you know, it's interesting because I think that cinnamon, even though it's sweet, there is something about it that actually has a little bit of a kick, like ginger. Same thing, I think, is like black cardamom. It's not hot, but it definitely is spicy.
It's interesting. So, and finish up with this mellowers and coolers, which I guess every cuisine needs, right?
Well, yeah. No, I mean, no question. I mean, for sure, for me, you know, boy, the thing that we're most familiar with is the yogurt, you know, this very wonderful cooler, which is a yogurt sauce known as Raita, made in all these different ways. You know, in the Latin kitchen, you've got the same thing. You know, you might have a spicy salsa, but oftentimes it's finished with, you know, crema, which can be also a cooler mm-hmm. on there. Mm-hmm. Or it's, you know, those combinations like avocados, I think, add that same thing. Avocado adds richness, but it also adds this sort of cooling element because of its mellowness. It mellows out a dish.
Mm-hmm.
It totally does. I mean, and certainly, you know, in the French kitchen, you know how it is. You have a sort of typical red wine reduction, like, you know, in a Beurre Rouge. The butter mellows that out. Or
right.
you have, you know, a Madeira sauce. You whip butter into the sauce. That mellows it out. I mean, you fold in a little bit of cold butter. Wow. It changes the whole, mm-hmm. you know, texture, flavor, mellowness of the sauce.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting and very organized of you to group all these things, I must say.
Okay.
Susan, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Chef Susan Feniger is author of Susan Feniger's Street Food. Now, find Susan's recipe for lamb meatballs with date and carob molasses on the website, splendidtable.org. And while you're there, take a look at our podcasts. Dig into the recipe box. Everything's there, and it's waiting, splendidtable.org.